Romans chapter number 12. I'll get to preaching tonight. Smile at me, amen. I get messages from my wife, and I know she's watching tonight, and she'll say, like, behave yourself, be good, amen. And then she'll say, now, wait a minute, why don't you preach this? Now, I'll get that. I'll hear about that when I get home tonight, amen. Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Probably everybody in this room who's been in church very long could quote those verses, and they're tremendous verses. But verse 3 is the key to me. He said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to some men. No, to every man, and watch the phrase, the measure of faith. When you think about missions and when you think about people doing mission work and accomplishing things for God, we sometimes sit back and we look at them and we think they are great people of faith. They must be something unusual. There must be something about them that's so very special that God would use them. But if I understand my Bible and understand what he just said, that God has issued to every man or woman that has been saved a very specific thing. It is called the measure of faith. Now we believe the Bible, do we not? Amen. God did not say a measure of faith, because if he'd have said a measure of faith, he could have given Brother Loop a dump truck load of faith and given to me a 55-gallon drum of faith that's a measure and been God. But God did not say that. He said, I have given to every man, woman, the measure of faith. When the Bible says, by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the moment that you trusted God, the moment you understood your sin had separated you from God, and you knew that sin was going to send you to hell, and you understood that Jesus Christ was the answer for that, and you turned from that to God, God gave you the measure of faith to even get saved. Amen. Now, wait a minute. So if God gave it to you, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to end up someplace, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sunday morning we talked about Matthew chapter 10. And those disciples that he sent out and what they did and what they accomplished, and you realize they had to do it by faith. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and he knows this. We know this verse. He says in verse number 7, for we walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Our problem in our lives is that we have to learn to live and walk by faith. Grace giving, missions giving, what you're going to do for the cause of Christ. I tell people that God has teaching us through faith giving, missions giving, grace giving, whatever you want to call it. He is teaching us to use the material things that we have. He's teaching us lessons of faith through the use of the material things that we have to teach us the greater lessons of faith that are going to have to come down the road spiritually. And so God is trying to teach us to walk by faith. When that widow woman in 1 Kings 17, and God sent Elijah to that lady and said, I've commanded her to sustain you. And Elijah shows up at that lady's house and that area and asks for a drink of water. And I've determined that that lady was probably an independent Baptist. Amen. Because when Elijah said, now as you're going, fetch me a little morsel of bread also. And what did she say? She turned and looked at him, as the Lord thy God liveth, I do not have a cake. He didn't ask for a cake. He asked for a little morsel of bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake, but I have a little meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse, and I got these two sticks, she said, and I'm going to go make a cake, one for me and one for my son. We're going to eat them and die. And that is the testimony of so many people that say they're saved that I've seen all over this world. Hey, listen, preacher, it's bad. It's destitute. We don't have a bunch. It's not about what you have this is the concern. It's what you do with what you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, perform the doing of it out of that which you have. And so that lady, Elijah says to that lady, she said, I'm paraphrasing it, okay? He said, time out, lady. Don't have a coronary right here, amen? He said, but you do this. You do as thou hast said. But make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And then make for thee and thy son. And that woman had to go into that house, scrape that barrel of meal, and put that little bit of meal in there and take that oil out of that cruse and make that cake for Elijah and bring it unto him, knowing that when she went back, there's not enough left in that barrel meal or that cruse of oil to feed her and her son. And she had to take a step of faith. That's what he says. We walk by faith and not by sight. She could not see in her physical being how this is going to work. But God showed her that it did work. Amen? There's many of you sitting in this room, you're saying, well, if I do this or if I do that, I cannot see how this works. Faith will not show you the end of the road. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's going to show you one step at a time, one little bit at a time. And as you begin to walk by faith, you'll come down to the end of the road and realize what God has so wondrously and gloriously did in your life. And you had to do it by faith. So Paul tells us in Romans, we've been issued this measure of faith. He tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're to move. We are to walk by faith with this measure of faith. Now look in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, because I'm headed one particular place, but we got to get there first. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's amazing how God uses terms and puts the Bible together. He says in verse number 12, he said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what he's saying? He said, quit looking at what everybody else is doing. Quit comparing what you do with them. Hello? Because the comparison's not the guy in this pew behind you or across the room. The comparison is, what does God want to do through you? So he said, we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. But then what did he say? He said, verse number 13, but we will not boast of things, notice what he says, without our what? He said, I'm not going to boast of things without my measure. Beyond that measure. What measure? That measure of faith that was issued to him on that road to Damascus when he got saved. And think about what Paul is saying to this group of people as he's writing to them. He gets saved on the road to Damascus. He goes down to Jerusalem for a little bit. And then he ends up in Tarsus for a few years. And Barnabas goes down in Acts chapter 11 to Tarsus. He gets him, brings him up to Antioch. He stays in Antioch for a year. And they confirming the disciples, leaves Antioch in chapter 13. Goes on the first missionary journey. Comes back the end of chapter 15. Chapter 16 goes on the second missionary journey. Has the Macedonian vision. Goes over into Philippi. Preaches the gospel. People get saved. Leaves there and goes over into other parts of Europe or Asia. And people are getting saved. And the church at Corinth is established. And people are getting saved. And lives are being changed. And Paul said, I've come this far. I not even went outside the measure of faith. So if Paul can accomplish that much with his faith, what's wrong with us? Huh? The problem is not that we don't have the faith. The problem is we don't trust God to use it. You see out on that table a Bible. That Bible is a very specific Bible for our military chaplains. We have a church in Tennessee, in Crossville, Tennessee, that produces those for us. And if you open that Bible, there is a discipleship book at the beginning of that Bible written by a military chaplain that has the discipleship program, a Bible reading schedule, and some answers to questions. And this church takes that, prints it, and binds it in that Bible and gives it to us so that we can give it to a soldier when he gets saved. And he can carry it with him and he's got everything he needs. Amen. The first time we had, we talked to him about printing them and doing it, I said to the guy, I said, what's it going to cost me? He said, I'll tell you what, because of what you're doing, he said, you pay for the covers and I'll take care of the rest of it. I said, okay. How much are the covers? He said, $1,250. I said, print them. I get in the car and my wife said, what did he say? I said, he's going to do 5,000 of them for us, and I got to pay for the covers. We have to pay for the covers, and the covers are $1,250. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, he's printing them. She said, but you don't have $1,250. I said, yeah, I know. You know, God will take care of it. Amen. We left there, drove home for a day, went from there to Mercer, Pennsylvania to preach for the Chuck Schwartz Church. I walked in that Sunday morning to preach. Lady sitting back there, I'd been there a few times before that. Lady sitting back there says, hey, preacher, I'm glad you're here. Come in. She said, I've been waiting for you to get here. I said, okay. She said, here, this is for you and that chaplaincy ministry. And she handed me a check for $1,000. And I went over and handed my wife. I said, hang on to that. We're about there. Amen. Left there and went to Springfield, Ohio to preach. And got ready to preach that morning, and the preacher said, now you need to go to junior church before you preach Sunday morning. I said, why would I want to go to junior church? I mean, my grandkids aren't in there, okay? Come on, smile, amen. And so I went back there and walked in. The lady said, come here. And her husband said, preacher, every year we take a special project, and we take an offering every Sunday for that project leading up to this day. And this year that project's been the chaplain ministry of all points in here. And she handed me a Walmart bag full of money. It had $285 in it. And in two simple services, God said, here. Now, why would God do that? So you learn to walk by faith. I didn't see that coming. But faith that is not moving, faith that is not headed forward, faith that is not reaching out, is faith that is dying. So Paul talks about it. Look what he says here. I got to get going because this is not really where I want to end up. He says in verse number 13, we've not went beyond our measure. He says in verse 14, for we stress not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not as unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. What does he say? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. So Paul said, my faith got me here, but it's not stopping here. We're going on past here. But we hope to be enlarged by you when your faith is increased. I got to studying that word, increased. It doesn't necessarily mean that you get more of it. It means that you use more of it. Huh? This is what I believe. And we'll go to the last passage of Scripture. That when you got saved, brother, God gave you every amount of faith you need to accomplish everything that He'd ever want you to do for the cause of Christ. You just need to use it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what our problem is? We want to understand faith. We want faith explained to us. We want to know what the next step will be. We want to know what the outcome of the next step will be. And God said there just comes a time when you just got to trust me. You don't understand it. You can't explain it. You don't know how it's going to work. But you just do it. And watch me. 1996, I believe it was, I was headed to the Philippine Islands on a mission trip. God had provided the money for the plane ticket the day that we were fastly approaching the time to leave. And my wife said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You don't have any money." I said, "Well, God will take care of it." He told me to go. So I got up that morning that I'm supposed to leave. I had my stuff all packed. We're packing stuff in the car, getting ready to drive to Pittsburgh to the airport. And guess where I live, you know, you fly little planes in there, amen. And I don't fly in little planes anymore, amen. I've watched them go like this and too much, amen. But so we're standing there and I said, "Okay, honey, let's get ready to go." And the phone rings. And it's a guy that I pastored when I was the pastor in that area. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "What?" He said, "You're getting ready to leave, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, in just about 5 minutes." He said, "Come by my house on your way to the airport. I got something for you." So we swung by his house on the way to the airport. It was actually on the way we would go. And I walked up to the door and he opened the door and he said, "Here," handed me an envelope. He said, "Go tell him what you told me. Have a good trip." Got in the car, and my wife and handed that envelope to my wife and headed towards the airport, and she opened it up, and there was enough money in that envelope to cover all the expenses of that trip and then some. And God knows what He's doing. Amen. See, the difference between some people's faith and yours, you'd have never packed the bag, you'd have never loaded the car, you'd have never headed that direction. Because God didn't tell you how it was going to work. Now, smile. It's not that bad. Go to Roman or to Hebrews chapter 11. You knew I was going to end up there sometime, didn't you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 is such an amazing passage of Scripture. So you get to Hebrews chapter 11, and he starts down through. And we call Hebrews the Hall of Faith and all that, and it is. And it'd do you good to go home and underline every time you see that word faith, and by faith, this one did this, by faith. But in verse number 1, he says, "Now." You know what the word "now" means? At this present time. Now. There's only, this is the now. Amen? In a moment, it was not the now. Amen? It was the past time. In the future, it's something else. But right now, in this time, he said, "Now faith," what? "Is the substance of things hoped for." And then what did he say? "The evidence of things not seen." Faith. When 2 Corinthians 8 says this, he said, "Now therefore perform the doing of it out of that which you have." God, too many people, I had a lady when I pastored all those years ago and we were building the building. She would come in on Wednesday night and she said, "Preacher, I think I've got it. And when I get it, we're going to pay off the building." And I kept thinking, what is she talking about? Every Wednesday night for weeks. And then finally it hit me. Wednesday night's the lottery drawing in West Virginia. So instead of giving her money, brother, she was buying lottery tickets, hoping she'd win a big bunch of money. And then she said, "And when I get it, we're gonna pay off the building." Well, guess what? She never got it, and we paid off the building without it. Amen. Because see, the easiest thing you can give is that which you don't have. Hello? I've heard people describe mission giving like this, and it's totally unscriptural, that you sit around and you wait for God to mysteriously give you this amount of money every week. You find it on the street, or you find it in a coat pocket that you've left it there. There's no faith in any of that. Faith is when you take what you have and you give it to what God said to give it, whether it's your finances, your time, your energy, your talents, whatever it is. And you let God have it and you let God use it. Hello? And when you do that, sometimes you're doing it not knowing how it's all going to work out. How are you going to pay the car payment? How are you going to pay the electric bill if I do this? And God says, oh, I got that figured out. Amen? Let me tell you what I mean. I was in Michigan and a man came to me as preaching a missions conference. He said, you were here last year. I said, yeah. And he said, I just want you to know right now, brother, there is no more money. I said, okay, good. He kind of looks at me funny. He said, I've given everything I can give. I said, well, good. I said, but here's the question for you. He said, what? I said, if you had more to give, would you give it? He went, sure. He came back in the next night and he went, who do you know? He hands me this letter. In the letter, he had retired 2 or 3 years previous to that from the United Auto Workers Union, and in that letter was a letter describing to him that they had miscalculated his retirement figure when he retired, and they owed him $150 more every month than they had been given, and so they told him, "You from now on, this is the amount you will get, and here's the back check for what we should have been giving you." And he said, "I guess I'm going to give some more." Amen? You perform. So he said it's the substance. Faith is made up of, the substance of faith is that which you hope for. Hello? But it is evidence. The proof of faith is when God does what you cannot see. You know what I call that? I call that the wow, I didn't see that coming moment. Amen? You ever been around one of those? You ever been? Some of you look at me like I'm nuts. Amen? You do what God tells you to do. You take that step of faith. You exercise your faith. And you say, how's this going to work? I don't know. But God said to do this. You see, folks, it's not ours. We're stewards of what God gives us. Amen? And He's testing our stewardship. And sometimes stewardship takes faith. But when's the last time you did something and then God did what only God can do and then you step back and go, wow, I didn't see that coming. And God shows Himself real to you. I was telling, I don't know, maybe it was you or somebody, I was telling today that I was preaching a meeting and they had asked this young man to come at this church to be the youth director, and he and his wife and their little girl had moved there. And I said, what's the church going to pay you? He said, well, they don't have any money to pay me. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know. I said, so do you have any money? He said, no, preacher, I'm broke. And so I'm preaching and I said to my wife one night at the meeting, I said, honey, there's something I believe God wants me to do. And I told her, and she goes, well, I think you better do it. So we get done at the end of the meeting. The pastor calls us all in the office, and he said, here's your love offering. I said, okay. I said, now this is mine, right? He said, yeah. I said, you can do with it whatever you want. Yeah, sure. I said, guys, I want you to give it to Josh. He goes, no. What do you mean, no? It's mine. He said, he took it out of the envelope. I wish I hadn't done that, but he took it out of the envelope and showed it to me. He said, you better watch what you're doing. I said, look, preacher, I just know this. This is what God said to do. So I just took it from him, signed it, put it back in the envelope, took it out, handed it to the young youth director, and I said, God told me to give this to you. He went, okay. My wife and I got in the car the next morning and headed home. When we picked up our mail, there was a check in our mail for twice what was in that envelope. Wow. I didn't see that coming. You say, but preacher, the check was already in the mail, so you would have had all of it. But I wouldn't have experienced the blessing of God. Of knowing I did what He told me to do by faith, and God had already... Did you ever think about Abraham when God told Abraham to take Isaac and go up on that mountain and sacrifice him on that mountain? And Abraham was trusting God. I mean, he knew God was going to take care of him. He didn't know how, but he just took Isaac and he took the wood and he took the fire and he headed up that mountain and he told his servants, we'll be back. He had all this faith. He didn't know how it was going to work out. And so he heads up to the top of that mountain, makes that altar, puts Isaac on that altar, draws back the knife, and God stops him. And he turned and looked and said, there it is. And there's that ram caught in the thicket. What's exciting to me, that is, many months before that, on the other side of that mountain, there was a little lamb that came into existence, and that shepherd of that flock took care of it and prepared it, and then God herded it up that side of the mountain for that very moment in time. Hello? Don't you think God's still able to do that? So what's God waiting on? For us to walk by faith? And not by sight. I preached at a church and one time and got there and they had this pretty little building meeting. And I said, man, how did this come about? He goes, preacher, you should have been here. He said, it was the greatest thing in the world. He said, I came here to be the pastor. He said, I got here and got into investigating everything. And we were meeting in this rented building downtown and all this. And he said, and found out the church owned this piece of property. And they want to build a building on this piece of property. I said, okay. And he said, so I'm praying and talking to God about it. And he said, we're running out of room. And he said, one day God said, you really want a building? I said, yeah. He said, then go over there and get started. He said, what? So he said, I went down to the hardware store, got me some stakes and some string and a hammer and a tape measure and went over to that piece of property and thought, okay, we ought to put the building right here. So he said, I drove a stake in here, measured over so far, drove a stake in the ground, run the string over there, measured back that way so far, drove a stake in the ground, went that way, measured it, tried to square it up the best he could. And he said, I'm standing there looking at it, and this guy pulls up and said, what you doing? He said, well, we're getting ready to build a building. He said, really? He said, if you're going to build a building, you got to put footers down first. He said, yeah. He said, I never built a building, but he said, I guess that's what you got to do. The guy said, I'll be back in a little bit. He came back an hour later with a backhoe, got that backhoe off the back of that trailer, and started digging the footers around where that guy had staked out the building. He said, now I'm wondering, is this right? Is this big enough? Is it what it ought to be? What? He said, so I'm sitting there leaning against my truck and watching this guy dig the footers, and this guy said, what are you doing? Pulls up in a truck, said, what are you doing? He said, we're building the building. He says, well, you've got to have rebar, you've got to have concrete in them footers. He said, yeah, I guess, if you say so. He said, I own the concrete company. I'll be back in a little bit. And he said, the guy comes back about an hour later, these guys in the back of a truck, they get out, start putting rebar in them footers, and he said, about 30 minutes later, here comes a concrete truck. He said, and I'm standing there watching these guys pour the footers for this building. And a guy walks up and he goes, hey, he said, so you're going to build a block building? You're going to build a stick build? What you going to do? He goes, I don't know. He goes, well, if that guy will give the blocks, so there was a concrete company, we'll lay them. And the guy said, sure. He said, by Friday night, we had a building, a block building up and under roof. And he said, I had borrowed not $1 of money. What changed that situation? He drove to that lot, got out of his car, and took a step of faith. The building that I pastored in sits on 13 and a half acres of property. I found out who owned it. I went to the guy. I said, I'd like to buy that property. He goes, sure. $10,000 an acre. You're talking 1984, 85. So $135,000. And I'm crazy. I said, I'm going to buy that piece of property, but I'm not paying $135,000 for it. He said, whatever. He calls me 2 weeks later. He said, do you have $39,000? I said, my dad does. He goes, you give me $39,000 in 14 days and you can have that piece of property. Found out that he had not been paying some of his taxes on his businesses. And the IRS had came in and said, you owe us $39,000. You've got to have it in 2 weeks. And we went to the bank and the bank wrote a check to the IRS. Hello? My dad worked for a block company at that time. He called me up that night after I called and told him we'd got the building. The next night he calls me, or got the property. The next night he called me. He goes, I talked to my boss. He said, they're going to donate 2,500 12-inch blocks to build your building. I just did what I had. Huh? Let me ask you a simple question. When's the last time you did something by faith and then turned around and went, wow, didn't see that coming? The end of next week, I'm done. The end of next week, I have a granddaughter celebrate a birthday. A young lady, she'll be 11 years old. When she was born, the doctor told my son and daughter-in-law, she should have never had that child. There's no medical reason she should have had that child. Every time I hug her neck, I just know what God's done. See, this grace giving is teaching you, take a step. Take a step. Because God's got some greater things in your life He wants you to take steps of faith in than putting money in a box. Hello? Perform the doing out of that which you have. You have the faith. Just do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us. Help us to be people of faith. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's